The time of the morning where we join our very own counselor Ahmad Father Constantly Talk. Ahmad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And how are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning, Ahmad?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, what a beautiful Sunday morning, Shafat. This sun is shining, alhamdulillah. What a beautiful winter morning in Durban today, Shafat.
I tell you, the superlatives are flying from Ahmad Parag. They brilliantly indeed. Ahmad, let's talk about Kafan Dafan. What's the latest? We see that Yasmin Jesse Duarte, Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilahi, the Deputy Secretary General of ANC, had passed on and should be buried later this afternoon. Ahmad, what's going on the world of Kafan Dafan?
So, firstly, you know, Allah give her Jannatul Firdaus. She was a very good ANC stalwart, served many years in the government of the ANC. She will be buried this afternoon sometime, Islamic Rite. I'm not sure they want to give her a complete state funeral. I'm not sure about it. It could be they might give her state funerals because of the position she held at the government level at the ANC. I'm not sure about that. We'll know during the course of this morning what's going to happen. But far as we are concerned in the Durban and surrounding and in the province, alhamdulillah, you know, school holidays are almost coming to an end. And so far, so good, Shafat. Alhamdulillah, we didn't have any major incidents or anything. Yes, there is a lot of Pakistanis that we are still sending the bodies back to their homelands in Pakistan because they insist that we need to send those bodies back to the country of origin, So they are going back. They, you know, I think Salim Qazi is doing on a regular basis, 2 to 3 a week. And then this is where we are at this stage. But alhamdulillah, in terms of burial space, burials and everything, alhamdulillah, we are on top of the game at the moment. And inshallah, going forward, we will be looking at for more cemetery space. But for now, for the next 10, 12 years, we have got more than enough, Shafa.
You know, Ahmad, others are from the subcontinent when their bodies are sent back, and also, but you find the Bangladeshis and the Malawians and all, they're so fussy. As soon as a mort takes place or death takes place, they bury here and now. But it's more like the Pakistanis, the Egyptians that want their body sent to the homelands. What is the reason for that, Ahmad?
I think it's more the root, the family. Family insist that they want the body. Even the Bangladeshis, they also insist that they need to be sent the body back to the homelands for the families to get the body and to be buried there. But unfortunately, for the others, our black brothers from all over Africa, Muslim black brothers from Malawi, Zambia, Tanzania, they don't mind we burying them here, and we've got no issues. But the other nationalities, they do want to send the bodies back to the homelands and all that. But we, you know, the Sharia law is very quick as possible. But unfortunately, they want to send the bodies. There's nothing we can do. It costs in the region, you know, if fare has gone up now with fuel prices and everything. Previously, under 20,000, you will be able to send a body from here via Dubai to Pakistan. Today, you're looking at in the region of about 27,000 to 28,000 to send the bodies back to Pakistan.
And you know, I believe that there's a syndicate. Whenever there's a death takes place, a syndicate gets together, and you know, they put the money to send the body away. And as you're talking about, you know, you told me a few years ago, was it last year, that we were going to have a state of the art, embalming center and all that. Has that come through, Ahmad?
Shabbat, alhamdulillah, we know. I'm pleased to announce that most of our brothers in Durban and surrounding have already passed the exam where they can do the embalming themselves. Previously, we used to send it to the, like AVBOB and the non-Muslim undertakers to get the Muslim body embalmed. Today, they have written the exam, and then the bodies are being embalmed here by us, and we're sending it there. So, alhamdulillah, that has, you know, we came a very, very long way after we formed the Islamic Burial Council, you know, we regularized a lot of system in terms of burial, in terms of getting the whole province together under one roof, as well as now we're going national as well. And we talking from one, the same page, same line. That made a big difference in terms of burial, and then the rapport that we have with government in terms of Department of Health, South African Police Services, and all the government departments in making sure that we expedite our mayat as quick as possible, our funerals as quick as possible. And if you take Durban and surrounding as well, if it's a very, very big mayat where it goes to Grey Street, even if it's on a weekday, we will get a center parking for the mayat. So, you know, very few province in the country that have got the facilities. That's what we have got in KZN in Shafat.
Well, I'm looking at some messages are coming across on our screen. It says, yeah, Ahmed Parak, we love you talk, and alhamdulillah, you talk, you're a man of truth. Please tell us, Ahmed, are we talking on the common ground when it comes to Muslim burial? I mean, are the Muslims, African Muslims, Indian Muslims, and Malay Muslims, are they all in conformity and uniformity when it comes to kafan dafan? A good question coming through there, Ahmed. I think you were on the mission of uniting the various groups together, and you know, and talk from, as you said earlier on, the same page, Ahmed.
Alhamdulillah, when it comes to burial, you know, throughout the country, there's only one system in that is the rule of Sharia, how we do things here, how we bury the people here in this country, and how we do ghusl, everything. And you know what, we are fortunate that in the old days where you had to go and bring the tray from the masjid, bring it home, boil the water and all, today you don't even have to do that. One telephone call or one call you make, the hearse will come and pick the body up, either from the hospital or from the house, and take it to the ghusl khana, where the ghusl will be done. Everything is being done. Bring it back to the house, where you make you read at home, bring it to the family, and then it goes to the masjid, and from the masjid to the Qabristan. How easy it becomes shafat with alhamdulillah. We are fortunate in that. That, you know what, alhamdulillah, we got a few brothers together and we formed the Islamic Burial Council. And from that, we have put a lot of ghusl khanas. And we were the first in the country to put a ghusl khana in a private hospital, Ahmad Al Qadi Hospital. So, you know, we have did a lot of things. We were the first to take over all the cemeteries from the council and maintain it ourselves. So we have set a precedent for our youngsters who are coming, that will be able to take over from us to make sure that the dafan kafan work takes place in this country, and the rules and regulations that we enjoy with the government, it is always been intact.
Seen, Brother Rasul says, Ahmed Parak, I was reading an article just last night where a South African old age woman passed away. The police discovered a body a few weeks later when it was smelling and rotting. Please, Ahmed, do we have our elders that are living alone in these beachfront flats? Do we have people checking them out every day? Please, I don't like to hear things like this or read about things like this. You can do it, Ahmed. Please do it. Now, how do you react to Rasul, Ahmed?
But I'm not sure Rasul's question. If it's an old age homes are normally administrated by an administrator, and they've got workforce there, they've got nurses there, they will look after them. But if it's a flat where a single parent is living there and she's old, and, you know, the children not even going and seeing her for medications or anything like that. I have seen over the years that previously, yes, the son was living on the first floor, and the mother was living on the third floor. And what happened was the son was not taking care of the mother, and in terms of her medication and all, she overdosed herself and she passed away. After 3 days, we had to break the door and go in there and take the body out. So these things happen because, you know, some people don't take care of the parents, and that's where the problem is. But if you take old age homes are normally taken by an administrator. They have got manager there looking after these people. But there's a whole lot of single parents are living in the beachfront. They say, you know, we got a beautiful house for my mother overlooking the beach. Samundar there, you know, she wants to be independent. She doesn't want to stay with us. She wants to be independent. Fine, she wants to be independent. You know, old people, they got their own way. They want to be independent. They don't want to be in anybody's way. Fine, we accept that. But there must be a system put in place where you go and look after your mother, check on her, make 1-2 calls a day, in the morning, afternoon, find out, ma, you need bread, milk, whatever you need, how's your medication, and go and visit her on a daily basis. You know, I used to live in Second Avenue, and I used to go and see my parents every morning before I go to work, you know, if they needed anything. So this is what how, and when I come from work, go home after namaz, Isha namaz, go make salam them, you know. This is how you have to do. People don't do that today. You know, they say they, in their way, they get them a nice flat in the beachfront or wherever they get them a one-bedroom flat or something and leave them there. Nobody look after them. That is our major problem that we are facing, Japan.
No, it's a very valid point because the elderly people, the old people, they love to talk and they like to tell you the history about your family roots and what's going on. And you know, when you can take our grandchildren and let them sit with the, you know, Nani and Nana. I mean, people won't even do that. A quick thought from you before we go for the news, Ahmed.
Shabbat, you know, in the old days, you know, when you used to leave your mother, and mother didn't want to come to you, with you to Joburg or wherever you went. She wanted to be stay. She wanted to stay. She don't want to travel or whatever. You'll bring your family, one of the family members, stay with my, yeah, just check on her and everything. And, you know, this is what, and bring the granddaughters or somebody to leave them there, to stay with my and all that, to make sure that my is taken care of, everything. So this is what happened. But the thing is, today they don't do that. You know, today you just go and leave them, and that's it. And then you, some of them, they go and leave them at Addington Hospital, and they, you know, in Addington Hospital, they go for medication or they go for the checkup or whatever it is. They go for Shafat. You won't believe it. They go. Some of them go like 5 in the morning. The doctor only comes in at 9 or so. By the time the doctor sees him, it's about 11, 12 o'clock. Okay, today, you know, Darul Ihsan is giving sandwiches there and give them one juice or something. And some of them don't carry anything to eat or anything. And if you're an insulin patient, you need to eat. You know, you every few hours you have to take a bite or something to keep your resistance and your blood flowing. So that's why they eat and everything. So this is the problem that we face with. And then by the time the son comes to pick her up, that poor lady is cooked up already. You know, she's got no strength to go home back. So this is the problem that we face with. Therefore, we, in fact, make dua in the next 2-3 months. We are opening, inshallah, the rescue 786 ambulance service. For people like that, where they are in hospitals, that they need to go back from the hospital, back to the home, we'll be able to do a transportation because they cannot, they're frail, they can't even walk, some of them. Some of them come in wheelchair and all that. I've seen, you must go there and see for yourself what happens.
And I can tell you, Ahmed, when it comes to State Talk, the whole world is listening. And how busy has it been for you this week? I mean, you are as busy as a bee. You work from Sunday to Sunday, Ahmed. Talk to us.
This week been a very, very hectic week. Now, there's a special meeting called up by the Speaker's office this week for the appointment of the new city manager. So from last week, we've been toying around with that. Then we had meetings upon meetings regarding my community service meetings. So, Shabbat, you know, we had a very, very, very busy week ahead last week, and this coming week is going to be even busier than last week. You know, when you're in government, you have to now, when they call you, they within 48 hours, you have to respond. You know, when the floods came in on the 12th of April, we had to put our book on, and we had to be called up at the city and start mobilizing and start working, get the system going. And I've chosen a department that is Parks and Garden Recreation, that is Community Service Committee. And that is the busiest committee and the biggest budget that you get in the city. So that is including all your parks, your swimming pools, your library, your grounds, soccer fields, you name it, everything comes through to Parks and Gardens. So, you know, it's a very big department and it's got one of the biggest budgets in the city. So I've chosen that specifically because of, you know, I love garden. And then when the cemeteries are there, cemetery crematoria is also part of that, the same committee. So that's the reason I've chosen that. And I saw there was a lot of soup kitchens in that committee. So that's where I got involved. And I said, you know what, we'll do a different. Now we have started to give, reservice all the 39 soup kitchens we have got in the Durban and surrounding. Now we have giving them, you know, they were getting once a week meal. Now we're trying to give them on a daily meal and, you know, trying to assist much as we can so that the people don't go empty stomach every day, Shafan.
Absolutely brilliant there, Ahmed. And also, I'm looking at a bodyguard of a Zululand District Municipality Mayor Tulusiz, where Putelezi was injured when he was shot during a coronation committee meeting at Mabel on Thursday, and the injured person has not been identified yet. You know, the killing, the shooting, and you know, the NEC meeting of the ANC and so forth. There's a whole situation, you know, right from the politicians and right to the man in the street. There's this culture of killing. You know, how do we bake this? Is this a part of the South African scenario? You know, your take on that?
Shafat, you must understand the whole climate in the politic system will be changed coming 2024. And the gravy train day is going to be over. They have put in new systems in terms of tender boards where you won't be able to get your tender just like that. A proper due diligence want to be taking place. So nobody is just going to get, you know, there's no more jobs for PAL or anything like that. So we have closed the tap for everything. So there's a big shift in terms of regularizing and making sure accountability is taking place in the government, not in council only, but in national government as well. So they have to put the act together and to show the people that, you know what, we are doing something right. And if they're not going to do anything right, they will be lucky to get 40%. The ANC government will be lucky to get 40% or 30% of the votes for the 2024 election. And they know that too. And they now with the Ramaphosa issue, they want him to step aside. And that is coming. There's a huge march that took place on Friday. So the things are going to things coming to us. They have now opened. The grave is open. Somebody has to lay in that. Now there is no looking back anymore because they have realized themselves what they have done. They have not given the country the service delivery, and they have not done anything for the people. And when I go out on the ground, you go to Amlazi, you go to Marshall, you go to Inanda, you go to all the rural area and all that. They don't want to listen to anybody. They just want a change. They said we have a cut full of promises and nothing has happened. We want a change in the country. And some of them, they will say we were better off in the apartheid days because at least we knew what we were doing. There was no problem. There was no killing. The security services were doing their job. The roads were much better. We were getting water. We were much better. We were healthier. Now we cannot go into hospital. There's no beds for us. There is no medication. We're going to hospital and we're dying and we're coming out. So this is the problem that we face with Shabab.
Yeah, Ahmed, and also the Durban Dicona Council of Churches, DCC, said it will not comply with Operation Dudula's demand to stop assisting alleged undocumented foreign nationals. Reverend Musa Zonde, chairperson of the DCC, said giving refuge to the needy is their core function as a church, so it would be impossible to honor Dudula's request. This is coming to a loggerhead here, Ahmed. How do you know, Itikweni municipality handle this? Because this is a very in-house situation, so near you, Ahmed.
Shafat, you know, firstly, you divert the church out of the equation. Churches are there and religious organizations are there for humanity and they're supposed to be assisting. And these people are here They came for greener pastures. They got nothing to do. They cannot get jobs. So the churches are helping them, at least giving them shelter, giving them food. Then this is what's happening at the moment. So Dududa is also saying one thing. You know what? These people you are harboring here, they're illegal. You can't do that. In terms of the South African Act, you even if you harbor them, there's 200,000 rand fine. So in terms of the Act, they need to do something. Even the church, even if it's a masjid, harboring non-South African citizen, you are responsible for that because you will be charged. So it is the right thing to do is they need to, they're saying, okay, on the one hand, we're trying to assist them because they've got nowhere else to go. But at the same token, they're supposed to be making provision for these people to be sent back to their homeland because end of the day, it's costing them money anyway to the church because they're getting funding from the outside and they're feeding these people. And these guys are not going to do anything because if you're getting three meals a day and you're not doing anything, so what you, the main thing is, as long as your stomach is full, you're okay. They're not looking for work or anything. They just want to be in the country. And it's causing a big problem for us in terms of infrastructure. And there's lots of other things goes with it. We cannot carry them any longer. We are saying, and Action SA is also saying, we got one saying only. Be compliant in everything in legal in terms of the legislation of the South African rule as per our constitution. You come here, you from India, Pakistan, wherever. Come here, you want to work, come through the right channels, apply for a work permit. Then you think you want, you're prepared to stay in the country, do the normal application for residence, permanent residence. There's a whole procedure there. Go and do it. We don't have a problem. You know, people are leaving from here, going to Australia, Canada, New Zealand, UK. People accept them because they're coming with value. People are coming from abroad here in our country without any value, just as a laborer. It's not on, Shafar. It's costing the state and it's costing us money to keep them here in our country.
Yeah, I'm looking at a message on the screen here. Tobela just typed it for me, and it says, I'm a brother from the Esplanade. Always listen to Ahmed Parak and yourself on Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. I really enjoy the program. Ahmed, a police officer was arrested for allegedly soliciting money from a drug dealer in Ambilo recently. But I know in other districts in Durban, talking about all those flats that are there, there are so many drug dealers there. The Nigerians are still in operation. And also when you look at the Point area, it is full of them. Why aren't these drug dealers cleaned out? Are the police so complicit that they're making good bucks out of the drug dealers and the drug dealers are their protectors? How do you respond to our brother in the Esplanade, Ahmed?
Shabbat, as you know, in the Overport area, there's a drug war at the moment. People are coming from Cape Town and they're fighting for turf war here in the KZN, in Durban especially. So there is a special task team that the Minister of Police, Becky Kelly, has in place. So that task team is starting to clean up. And the local police has been put in place where they will be taking officers from various stations. And they're going to be doing a complete cleanup of the city. In fact, this is very important. And if you go to our airports and all that, you'll find in the last couple of months, millions of rands of drugs that were coming from overseas, they have intercepted here, and a lot of them have been even detained. They are going now, you know, the motive of Parandi is they go to elite areas, you know, like the Amstrangas, La Lucia, areas where they cannot be caught or anything because they, you know, the area is very, very clean. Your neighbors are very far apart from you and all that. That's where they go and set up their den. So that all that is coming to an end. It'll take time. Shabbat for us, for the government and the police and the intelligence to start cleaning the city and cleaning this country is going to take years. But the thing is, yes, we have started putting things in place because a lot of murders that took place in the Overport area in the last couple of months. So this is what the task team has been put in place to apprehend all these people that are causing problems and bringing drugs from all over the show. Yeah.
Ahmed, you make a very valid point indeed. As you said, these are big drug dealers and all are moving into the suburbs. And, you know, they actually in that area, And, you know, they got the best cars and they come there. But the people in the area know that these are drug dealers, but they're too afraid of reporting them. Your take on that?
But always you'll find that even if, you know, where we live here or any area, you got people know about it and they don't want to get involved or anything because, you know, as drug dealers, that somebody must just tell them that, you know, so-and-so went and then reported you or you, this is the pimp or anything. They just come and gun you down. And before you say anything, your whole family, your child has been kidnapped and all these things happen all the time. So therefore, you've got to be very, very careful how you deal with all these matters and all that. That's why the special, therefore they call it the special task team, only look into this issue of this drugs. Because it's always, you'll find in a middle class area like the Chatsworth, Finnish, Amlazi, all the low class, you know, you call middle class people who have money to buy drugs and all that. And you know what, we mustn't write off schools, Islamic schools and all that. We got information recently that Islamic schools were involved as well. So this is the problem that is, it's a major problem. I know many years ago, one guy, when I was still with the Islamic Burial Council, the guy came and told me, "Hey, Lani, that his son was in the mall, and then what?" Guy told me, "You know what? This is the major drug lord." So I told him, "Hey," he came and met me there, and he said, "No." So I told him, "Hey, how y'all are just selling drugs to these lighties and all that?" He says, "You know, Lani, you don't understand how this game works." He says, "It's very, very simple. We identify who's got money, whose son is this guy. Then once we determine that, and then we try and get him hooked. Once he's hooked, we give him 50 rand a time, 100 rand a time. Then he's got a facility of 2,000-3,000 of getting drugs. When he can't, then what we do is we put the pressure. Then he goes and steals his mother's jewelry, he brings good watches to us and all. Then he can't do that. Then we put big time pressure. When we put big time pressure, the father comes into this thing. He says, "You know what? I want 50 grand, 100 grand. This is my account." And you can't do anything at that time. These are mafias. And the father had to pay. And then what happened? One guy in that case where I dealt with that body, he couldn't pay. The father refused. They put the lighty away. This is what happens. So this is a major problem. They attack to our vulnerable Muslim children because they know Muslim will 9 out of 10 find the money and pay that. This is the problem we are faced with, Shifa.
Yeah, horrendous indeed, Ahmed. And, you know, looking at this message, it says, "Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed Parak. I'm living in the Joburg area and our load shedding here is out of fashion. It's really frustrating. Why don't you come here and sort something out for us, Ahmed? Because I believe my cousins in KZN are having it quite easy." Ahmed, Joburg night, he wants your help, Ahmed.
We got our officers, Action SA officers in Joburg. Herman Mashaba is the president of our Action SA. Bungani Boloi is the chairperson of the Gauteng. In fact, if the brother gives us his number, I'll put him through Bungani Boloi and he'll be able to assist. But you know what? Joburg is completely different to KZN, and there's a problem in terms of electricity, in terms of Eskom. You must understand, Shafat, you know, the coal that we get from, you know, most of our Eskom use coal. Now, why the system is breaking is our good coal, the A-grade coal, it goes away to China and all over the world. It goes via Richards Bay and it goes all over the world. The third grade, that, you know, when you can say the kachara, the real kachara, they're using it into all our systems here with Eskom. The system must break. You can't put third grade diesel in your bucky and you expect it to go. You'll find that thing, your vehicle will eventually break. And this is where the problem is. This is third grade coal they're using in Eskom. That is the biggest problem that we face. If you ask anybody that, and you write up to EFCOM, and they will tell you, you know what, tell them you want testaments of the coal that they're using, and you'll take the testament and you'll do a feasibility on that, and you'll see that is a third grade. That's where our problem is. All our very good coal is being exported. That is the reason. And that's where our biggest problem. So a lot of people are going into, like, where I am now, we put borehole, now we're going to solar. We're going, all most of the people you'll find on the roofs, you'll find everybody's going to put solar. Each panel costs in the region of 3,000 rand. They're going to put solar. You have to become, to stay here, you have to become self-sufficient. You got your borehole water, you got your solar, and eventually you come out of the grid and you'll be better off. They know the sun we get in Durban, alhamdulillah, like today, if you know that, you don't even have to put a jacket on for when you're going to Vijay Namas. So that, you know, if you can get that, then you're away. And that's what's going to happen in the end.
Yeah, but you said very eloquently our choice grade goes overseas, and then I believe we got surplus of citrus fruit rotting. There's millions and millions of tons that are going to rot because they're not importing it because of all these, the war in Ukraine. It has affected our export and so forth. Talk to us about that, Ahmad.
Shabbat, if you go to the guy that is in Sydney Road, all the fruits come from the Eastern Cape. All the fruit comes here for export, especially the oranges, the nachis, and everything. The top grade fruit that's supposed to be leaving this country, and they get top dollars for it. They pay in dollars, and all that is great. Now it's great. You'll find beautiful. If you go to the veggie shops and go to the supermarkets and all, you'll find A grade beautiful oranges. You are getting, you getting nachis, you getting beautiful citrus fruits. And the thing is this, they're offloading it to the stores at the moment at a price, just because otherwise it gets rotten. They're not going to get anything. They're going to lose millions of rands, yeah. And because with the Ukraine war has caused a huge havoc internationally, and then our fruits are not going there. And then this year was the best harvest they had in many years.
How much of a nachis you ate, Ahmad? I've been eating some lovely mandarins and nachis, and even a grapefruit. What's your favorite?
Mine is mainly nachis. I always like nachis.
Yeah, because Ahmad and I, we watch a lot of soccer sometimes. Hey, we're whacking the nachis. I'm reading an article here. It says, according to the Business Day report, Acting ANC Secretary General Paul Mashatile is blocking anyone facing serious criminal charges from participating or being nominated by branches. Now, I'm thinking Mashatile is giving us a story. What happens? Gumede and all this will be out of the equation, Ahmad.
Gumede, you know, she's got that big issue with the DSW, with the 420 million. That matter is being set down for 3 weeks in September at the High Court here in Durban. So the outcome of that day is sub judice at the moment. We can't say where we are. And she's got two top advocates fighting for her, and there's also 14 others are involved in this whole saga. That is going to be a big issue that is going to come before the court. As far as the issue, I was reading this morning, Dube is who was on the finance side of it. Now she was the front runner to become the head of the ANC in Durban and the chairperson. So that issue is going to be, is now they're finding something for her to nail her and bring her. Their hawks are on top of that case there at the moment. You know, they find something, they just pin you so that you come out of the running, and then you have to, you know, in terms of the step aside rule, you have to step aside. So this is what this issue is all about. But and they moved the conference, supposed to have started this coming week. I'm not sure it's going to take place because there's so much of friction and fight in the ANC at the moment. We don't know what's going to happen, Shabbat.
Yeah, Ahmad, and also I'm looking at a message here from Dawood. He says, Ahmad Parak, I really enjoy your show. And let me know about unlicensed Shibin. There's so many. Who do I spreek this to? Dawood wants to know, so many unlicensed Shibin. Who must he report it to, Ahmad?
Shabbat, if you have seen in the last 2 weeks, about the death that took place in all the Shebeens. You know, there have been a lot of people been gunned down in Shebeens and taverns and all these issues there where their liquor has been sold. When it comes to bottle stores and selling liquor, you have to be licensed. So in Durban and surrounding, you have to apply by the city, by the municipality. They either come and check your place up in terms of all the regulations, and then they pass it or they decline. So they have to, it's a license that you have to get from the city. So whether some of them get approved, but there's so much illegal ones, we do not have the inspectors to go out and reprimand these people or anything like that. That is the problem. So therefore, these people, and in liquor, they make gold money out of liquor. So this is the problem that you are faced with. So yeah, in the end, the thing is, especially in all these townships and all, every third, fourth house is like a mini bottle store and like a tavern there. Everything happens there, Shafat.
I tell you, straight talk, the baraka flows, the times have come to an end here. Ahmad, your parting words?
Shafat, we must make dua. Allah has blessed this province with everything. And most importantly, we have got a constitution where you got right of religion, right of culture. We must make dua that if you go to any other country in the world, you're not going to get what you get in KZN, and especially in South Africa. Those foreigners are coming here. They're not coming here just for any other purpose to come and in this country. They come here to make money. And all of them are making gold money in this country because it's so easier to make money in this country than in their own country. So that's the reason. So we must make dua. Allah has blessed us in terms of all the ulum, masjid, whatever cemeteries we have, everything we have got, we must make dua that Allah has blessed us in this province and in this country that we staying and we getting whatever. Deen is more powerful here than anywhere else in the world, Shafat.
Ahmad, lovely words indeed. Allah bless you. Allah keep you and keep up the great work. I'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.